up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Good to see you too.
Next, we've got Pete. Pete, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. Ready to get my swashbuckled.
This is a family show, Pete, so come on. And last but certainly not least, we got Steve. Steve, glad to have you with us.
I'm glad to be here.
Guys, if you've not already, please like, subscribe, share. We've got some fun shows coming up and some shows that you might want to watch so you don't have to watch the shows that we're watching. But like maybe this week, one. Oh. This week, we are going back to 1993 and watching, we watched The Three Musketeers. This was The Three Musketeers. It starred Charlie Sheen, Kiefer Sutherland, Chris O'Donnell, Oliver Platt as The Three Musketeers plus D'Artagnan. Has Tim Curry as Cardinal Richelieu, has Rebecca de Mornay. Basically, if you were an early 90s star, and not Tom Cruise, they asked you to be in this. Yeah. And most of them said yes. Based on the original book, sticks somewhat close to the original book, to be perfectly honest. I actually directed a play of The Three Musketeers, and this basically takes the first part of the story and then the end of the story with Milady de Winter. And that's the story we see. D'Artagnan, of course, wants to go. Young guy wants to go join the Musketeers. Meets the Musketeers that have just been disbanded by the evil holy man, Cardinal Richelieu, who was Tim Curry in scenery chewing in its finest. Then it's all about how they essentially uncover his plan to betray the king and win the day. Sorry, spoiler alert. So, Pete, for this movie, what saved the day? What was great about this movie?
I thought the action scenes in this movie were a lot of fun. You know, it was there were horse chases and there were sword fights and there were jumping and leaping and swinging from things, just what you would expect from a Three Musketeers movie. I thought it was all done very well. The fights were entertaining, all that kind of stuff. I thought all that kind of stuff was done really, really well. So those were my favorite bits of the movie, and that's the intention of the movie, right? It's your basic Disney, but it was Touchstone.
It was not a Touchstone. It was a Walt Disney Pictures.
Was it? Okay. Well, yeah. I was thinking it was basic, like 90s Disney era movie.
Yeah.
You know, PG swashbuckle movie.
You've got it felt a whole lot like Homeward Bound. It felt a whole lot like Mighty Ducks. It felt a whole lot like they had the same general look and the same general feel good story throughout.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought the action stuff in it was really well done and very entertaining. So what about you, Steve?
I'm going to agree with you on that. And that's where I end. So the action was fine. Don't have a lot more good things to say about the movie.
And see, I like this movie. I'm going to be the Lena Horne. I liked it. I remember enjoying this movie as a kid.
I liked it.
I would have been 12 years old. I was the target audience for this movie for once. It had the action. No matter what she says, it did have some humor with it. Some of the sarcastic comments, some of those side comments, especially Tim Curry again, you know him saying, you know, go with God and, you know, you first. And yeah, those kind of things. It's the little lines that, was it a laugh a minute? No. But were there, it was an, as I said, when I commented with my wife, I wondered, is this the movie where they kill the most people in any Disney movie? They kill a lot of people in this movie.
Yeah, a lot of dead people, yeah.
And non-apologetically killed them. So, but it was your general, you knew who was in good guys, you knew who were the bad guys. It was the red versus the blues. You had the young man trying to come, eventually avenging his father. No, it did not have the iconic line, but he was Inigo Montoya reincarnated. Pete, you talked about it, the action scenes. They actually went through a 6-week sword fighting camp, except for Charlie Sheen. Because he was busy shooting Heart Shots Part 2, which means he should have been at the sword fighting camp. But that's why a lot of his are done more. He throws a lot more punches and wrestles with guys a whole lot more because he did not get the sword fight training.
Makes sense, yeah.
So has a very, very young Chris O'Donnell in it. Has a little bit past her prime Rebecca De Mornay in it. And I know it's a fun show. I think it was a fun show, especially again, as I said, I was the target audience for this. So as the counterpoint, Kate, what did you like about the movie?
Tim Curry, I would have loved to have met him before he passed away. He's just so talented. The guy who plays D'Artagnan's hot. Kiefer Sutherland's always hot. There was some good fight scenes. There was horses.
There were a lot of horses.
There were a lot of horses.
There was some good costuming.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay. Okay, so if that's what saved the day, Kate, I'll let you do this one. What about this should be put in irons?
This movie was not, it wasn't meant for me. Like how High School Musical wasn't.
I have to back out real quick. Tim Curry is alive.
No, I guess I just looked that.
Yeah,
no, he's alive.
I still have a chance. Who
have? Born in 1946, but he's wheelchair bound.
Yeah, he's not. He's not doing very well, but yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
You're fine. This movie is your typical young guy movie in the early 90s. It's got fighting. It's got women in scantily clad clothing. It's got makeout sessions. It's got horses. It's got what, Derek?
Have you seen the Mickey Rourke version of this move of the Three Musketeers? A don't. But if you think this had girls, this just the scantily clad was okay. They were in corsets. Ooh, ah, ooh. That one, oh my gosh, would never get past Disney today. So,
it just wasn't. It's not. It's, and I actually do enjoy a good action movie. This wasn't really it for me. It just, I needed, like, there wasn't. Again, I might have missed things, but like, I didn't really get the backstory on the Three Musketeers. I didn't really understand why they disbanded the Three Musketeers. There was just, it just didn't hook me. I couldn't stay focused on it. Except when Tim Curry was on, because I just think that he is such a good villain.
Okay, Kate, could you explain the term chewing the scenery to those who may not be a scenery chewer of an actor to those?
No, I will let you explain that.
Oh, Okay. Basically, that means that nothing is safe on set. It used to be like a scenery. The term comes from Broadway, where they were not afraid to damage some of the set just to get there, you know, to be able to act big and huge and be a character actor or actress. Mm. So it's, if you're a scenery chewer, you don't care what's out there. Nothing is sacred to get your big character across.
Huh.
So
I never knew what that meant.
Yeah. So that's, yeah. So if we hear, because we've used the term before. So a scenery chewer is someone who has the huge presence on screen and knows it and works to make his presence even bigger.
Right. Would you say often it's a minor character
who usually makes it? Okay. Mary Wicks, the innkeeper's had the housekeeper in White Christmas was known for being a scenery chewer.
So is it a bad thing?
No, not necessarily. Mary Wicks always had that little handkerchief. They usually have something that always draws your eye to them, even if there's a crowd of people on stage.
Got it.
Yeah. To me, there's like William Shatner was a big scenery chewer, and
yes,
that's probably a bad example of scenery chewing.
Interesting.
But Tim Curry does it in just the right level. In just about everything he does, and
even when he's over the top.
Yes. Yeah. And he wasn't as over the top in this as he is in some things, but he was definitely to me. I also think of, like, if you're a scenery chewer, you're not just acting, you're acting.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Very, would Bernadette Peters be a scenery chewer?
Massive yeah. Scenery chewer. Yes.
Fascinating. So I can appreciate and respect why this movie did well in 1993. I can respect and appreciate why people liked it, especially Derek. What year was The Princess Bride?
89, I want to say, but hold on.
I'm gonna say 87. That people who liked, well, but see, I liked Princess Bride, but it had humor.
Princess Bride is very different from this movie.
This is not a Princess Bride.
But I think that it had a lot of similarities. I think it had a lot of similarities with the fighting. I think it had a lot of similarities with some of the casting. I think the whole avenge my father, it gave me Princess Bride. And the way it was shot a little bit gave me Princess Bride vibes, but it's just a very early 90s action movie, so I get why people like it. It wasn't my cup of tea, but
I'm not the one who's wrong. Let the record show.
You're welcome. Go ahead, Pete.
I very much enjoyed this movie, but I will say this: it's the least French Three Musketeers movie you could possibly have. When it comes to the acting and like nobody was trying to, I mean, they were all playing it as 90s American, right? Very, you know, all four of them. Chris O'Donnell is not a good actor. There's this one podcast I listened to recently, and they were talking about the movie, which was his breakout, Son of a Woman with Al Pacino, and uh-huh. Like they were talking about how, like, there was like 4 or 5 years where Chris, like, every casting director wanted Chris O'Donnell, and like all the other actors of his age could not understand why everybody wanted Chris O'Donnell.
Al Pacino in Sin of a Woman is scenery chewing compared to Chris O'Donnell.
Well, yeah, he's scenery. He's chewing the scenery beyond levels. But I mean, Chris O'Donnell is terribly miscast in this movie. I think he doesn't feel like, you know, the character that he's playing at all. He just feels like a pretty boy that's kind of there and smiling, and I don't know. I didn't really care for him in the role. The rest of them, I could, you know, I the rest of them were all fine. You know, Charlie Sheen seemed a bit out of place too, but you know,
I would have put Charlie Sheen and Oliver Platt personally.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, you know, in today's age, it was very, very white, which in, you know, medieval France, it was probably pretty white then, but I'm just saying, I don't think in this day and age, you would see this movie made with an entirely, you know, Eurocentric cast, that they'd somehow find a way to bring in some other ethnicities, however they did it. So I don't think that's a flaw of the movie. It's just, it's more of a time at which it was made. So I'll say that. What do you got, Steve?
I'm like, hey, this movie bored me. I lost interest. I liked some of the fight scenes. I think the opening scene with the horse going through that was interesting. I was just bored. I kept on going. I mean, I sort of followed along with it. And I was thinking, I've read the account of Monte Cristo and I was expecting some sort of like more exciting story. I was bored by the story. But the biggest thing that got me stuck, and maybe because it's my age and I can't remember if it's on this 90s, was I'm going, oh, that's a young Chris O'Donnell. That's a young Heather Sutherland. And I sort of stuck and focused on that. And I couldn't get into the movie. All that like just sort of stuck out to me. Tim Curry was fine because Tim Curry was Tim Curry. But everyone else, I'm like, oh, that's a young one. Okay. And sort of, I think that ruined the entire movie for me.
Has Tim Curry played a good guy? Well,
he's not a bad guy in.
He sort of did a good guy in Clue.
Clue. He's not a bad guy.
One version of it, he's not.
You're telling me Dr. Frankenfurter is not a bad guy in Rocky Horror Picture Show?
I've never seen it. So
okay, and that's why you're saying that.
Oh,
that can be a rather tender subject.
Hold on, I'm gonna look this up because he has to have been a good guy.
He was good for the most part, except for one.
Wow. So sorry, Steve, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Right. But in Clue, if you look at most of the versions, he plays a pretty good guy. I mean, crazy. And one of the versions, he's not.
Okay. Spoiler alert. No. Okay.
Well, we're spoiler filled.
Here, if Clue had been a Disney movie, it would have been done long ago. Yeah. I mean, for me, yes, there were definitely slow parts. Rebecca De Mornay was definitely past her prime in this to be the true femme fatale. Risky Business was 10 years before this. So that's where you kind of identify her from. She's getting a little long in the tooth to be now. I understand that as, you know, the count who long ago, but Kiefer Sutherland is not that. I agree. Kiefer Sutherland should have been just a little bit older in this for it to truly have worked. But your Charlie Sheen has never been my favorite. Chris O'Donnell has really never been my favorite. But as you said,
I never know that Tim Curry was Pennywise in the
movie? I have no idea, Kate.
In the 90s TV. In the 90s TV it.
Yeah. Yeah, in the original it, yeah. So
I never knew that.
Oh, hey. So if that's what as we sometimes do on these shows, who would be how would you cast this today? And I'm actually going to start this one because I think I win for D'Artagnan being Tom Holland. If you want a pretty boy, young, because he can still look young. I know he's not as young as he used to be when he was when he was the young Spider-Man and all that. But for someone, you want someone who could actually act, who could actually do the stunts. I want Tom Holland as my D'Artagnan. And I will let Kate go from there. But I just wanted to make sure I was the one that got that one out there to begin with.
Well, I was going to say Stephen Amell for D'Artagnan because he looks just like Chris O'Donnell. That's who plays. He plays. Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. I'm going to sneeze. On the TV show Green Arrow, he plays Oliver. Oh, my God. What's Green Arrow's name?
Oh, really? Him?
See, I think don't think he looks like. You need to see.
He looks like Chris O'Donnell, but everything I see him of him, he always has a beard. And D'Artagnan has to be so baby-faced to me.
Well, that's fair. But he he could also do stunts and do stuff like that. I don't know. I got to think on this one.
Yeah, I think the only thing is he's too old now for D'Artagnan. I can see where you're saying it.
My thought is 28, but Tom Holland does not look 28. So,
Pete. Yeah, I thought of Tom Holland, but I also thought Timothy Chalamet would be a really good D'Artagnan because he also looks, you know, he was recently in the Willy Wonka movie and Dune, right? Yeah. He was in Dune. He has a real baby face look, and I could also see him as portraying a character that might actually look French.
Yeah. Or sounds French.
He's an American. He's not just because his name is Chalamet doesn't mean he's French, but I also thought I think Tom Holland would be good in that role as well. I had a hard time thinking of anyone else for the other characters. I thought maybe one of the, you know, again, if we're going to cast a more modern day where they wouldn't all be white characters. I thought Justice Smith, who was recently, he was in the, he was in the Detective Pikachu movie. He was also in the last few Jurassic Park movies, and he was in the Dungeons and Dragons movie. I thought he would be good as possibly to play one of the Musketeers. And Stephen Amell that you mentioned, I think he would be better as what's Kiefer Sutherland's character's name? Pathos? Is that
Pathos?
Yeah, because that character to me is supposedly, I would say, like the older of the three, right? Even though I don't think either Sutherland was really older than the other two, but you know, I think that character could be, you know, someone in his, you know, 30s, early 40s type character. So that might be a good fit for that. Because I think that's how it's supposed to be. And yeah, I would say, Kiefer and Charlie Sheen and Oliver Platt were playing 30 maybe. But I always thought that the Three Musketeers are really, you know, more veterans. You know, they play a little older than D'Artagnan. And in this movie, the only reason they felt older than D'Artagnan is because D'Artagnan looked like he was like 16. So
yeah.
What about you, Steve? Any
casting I have you want to do? Cast. Okay. So for D'Artagnan, I'm going the TV route with Montana Jordan from the Young Sheldon series, Georgie.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Yeah. I can see that.
I'm going with him. And then for the Three Musketeers, for Charlie Sheen, I'm going with Channing Tatum. And then for Oliver Platt's, Ryan Reynolds. And then for the Kiefer Sutherland, I'm going with Orlando Bloom. Or whatever, those three. I don't know how to mix those around.
Okay.
Those would be my three. And that's help with from my staff today during lunch. We were having a discussion.
Watch out.
Sorry.
Watch out.
That was no, that was nothing to do with this. Sorry.
Okay. Wait, watch out. What?
Watch out. That's a good idea, Steve.
To me, I'd put Zachary Quinto in there. Especially as the Athos character. The darker, especially with he's in the new, seeing that, is it the new Criminal Minds that he's in? Is that the new?
I think so. Yeah.
No, it's, yeah, well, it's some new. It's some new show. No, he's like on a new doctor show. It looks like House, where he's
I just saw the ad for it. It's something that looks like something I would like.
Brilliant Minds. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Brilliant Minds. I would throw, because you gotta have someone fairly dark for Reflu. The one who could play it with the attitude of almost mirror Tim Curry, and I hate to do the Marvel tie-in. Throw Robert Downey Jr. in that role.
I can see that.
With the sarcasm and that. Yeah. The person I would not throw into this movie would be Johnny Depp at all.
No,
not at all. And I honestly wouldn't throw Orlando Bloom in for a similar reason. Especially if you're going to keep a similar script. I don't think Orlando Bloom can do comedy incredibly well. And the lightheartedness of this, he gets really dark really fast. Same thing with Johnny Depp, although Johnny Depp's just cringe. So those are the kind of the ones I'd win. I didn't necessarily go towards the actual Musketeers, because I think a lot of the interchangeable, I can tell you a lot of people I would not have play the Musketeers. Hold on just a second. He was the general in the new Top Gun movie that wanted to shut him down. He was guy who was running Ed Harris. You could throw Ed Harris in as Reflu. I think he could pull it off. Again, if you want to go a more serious Reflu, this serious bad guy, him as a bad guy in National Treasure 2 really works. So, actually,
talking about that movie, Miles Teller from that movie would be a good musketeer.
Yeah, he could work. The guy who played Riley, I'm guessing. Is that? Or are you thinking of someone? That's who pops in my head. But
yeah, I only saw that movie once. I don't remember the name of the characters, but
no, Miles Teller is not in National Treasure 2.
No, from Maverick.
Okay. I'm going, wait a minute. But yeah, Miles Teller, I guess he's 37. So I mean, yeah, that could work. I could probably throw him in the Oliver Platt character. I would not throw the guy who played Hangman and in the new Twisters movie that is awful. Don't go see that, by the way.
Oh, really? No, Glenn Powell is not a... You're talking about Glenn Powell. He's not a musketeer. No.
He's not a musketeer. So
he's too much surfer dude.
Yes. And Miles Teller is close. So anyway... as we always do, we rate movies on Pixie Dust out of 5. And I think we're going to have a pretty decent spread on this one. So, Kate, what would you give the Three Musketeers?
A 1.5. I feel really bad rating it so low. I always feel bad rating low. Always, always. I won't go rewatch this.
You don't want Charlie Sheen not to like you or something?
I don't even have a witty comeback for that currently. I mean, I love Kiefer Sutherland, even though he's like been to jail and stuff. So
that's what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. During 20, when they were filming 24.
Oh.
Yeah, he went to prison for something. I don't remember what, but so I'm going to give it a 1.5. You go, Pete.
I'm gonna give this a 3. To me, it was, you know, it was a fun, I said, I had fun with it. Is it a movie I would go back to and watch a bunch? No, but if, you know, someone said 5 years from now, it's like, oh, you want to watch this? I'd be like, eh, okay, whatever. You know, so I got to give it a 3.
I'm giving it a 2. It was just okay. I was bored. So 2. I made it through.
I'm going to go 3.5. Again, you guys know me. If it's stuff I liked when I was young, it's hard to get me to not like it when I'm still an adult. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those things where definitely I enjoyed this when I was a kid, and I still enjoyed it. And
Derek and I agreed on something.
I know. As I said, Kate is wrong. So...
No, we're split down the middle here on this one. I think.
That was quite the spread.
Huh. Yeah. 3.5 to 1.5. We have been wider. We're even wider a couple weeks ago when we did High School Musical. But, yeah, I think this is one that I think if you remember.
You were a lot more wrong then.
I was a lot more wrong then. Yeah, well, so what else is
there? Agreed. You were a lot more wrong.
Yeah. So,
isn't the song "We're All in This Together"?
But next week we are watching Inside Out 2. It has come out on Disney Plus, and we're going to be watching it. Steve has watched it. Pete has seen it. Kate, have you seen it yet?
I have not, and I'm so excited to watch it. I was just talking about this. I went to yoga today at the gym, and it ended up just being me and the woman leading it. And we got into talking about like therapy and mental health and all this stuff. And she looked at me because I told her how I've had anxiety. And she was like, have you watched Inside Out 2? And I said, no, not yet. And she was like, girl, go watch it because it's going to resonate with your soul. So I'm so excited.
I have also not seen it, and I'm not nearly as excited. So,
yeah, you didn't rate the first one real high, did you?
I did not rate the first one real high. As a review, I gave the first one a 2. Kate gave it a 3.5. Pete gave it a 4. Steve gave it a 3. So, and Pete and Steve, initial response, as good or not as the original?
Not quite as good, but close.
Yes.
Okay,
that's my opinion, is not quite as good, but close.
So I am going to go into this with an open mind. I do want to see it just because, if nothing else, it's not Marvel. So and we are still keeping up on Agatha All Along. Here in a couple of weeks, we will have a recap. We'll do about a mid-season recap show of that one, or at least talk about it. So we're not leaving that one behind. We just didn't get to it this week. So if you do have suggestions, though, we do need suggestions for in a couple weeks, because there's a little bit of a gap before we get into our Thanksgiving Christmas season, that we need a couple suggestions, especially if you've got good documentaries. As I said, good documentaries. Really love to have some of those on. And if there's a movie or show you want us to watch, let us know, and you can be on this on here too. If you want to message us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, anywhere, we will answer all of our messages. We have new shows every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, Gina, we miss you. We wish you were back, but we understand. We will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Hi.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcast and leave those 5-star reviews, as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @plusplatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.